Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Today, the highlights and lowlights of the third presidential debate, and MTG files an impeachment resolution against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I am joined today by Pat Gray, host of Pat Gray Unleashed. Also today, host of the Glenn Beck program.
Mm-hmm. And tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
So he's really excited to talk more on my show. I'm sure he can't wait.
I can't talk enough.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Also joined by the beautiful Carol Roth, of course, the author of You Will Own Nothing, and a fan favorite here at Blaze. So we're happy that you're actually here in person.
Yes, it's always fantastic to actually be here in person and not be on a screen somewhere and try to coordinate the time and all that tomfoolery that we do.
Should I even bother asking you about the economy?
I mean, how much bad news are we covering here today, Sarah? I mean, that's the part. I feel like I should get a t-shirt that just says, don't shoot the messenger. Mm-hmm. Because every time I show up somewhere, I never have anything good to say. Right. And that's not my personality. Really, I just wanted to be a game show host. Somehow I got dragged into all of this, and they have no good news for us.
Right.
So I'm happy to tell you all kinds of things about the economy. Not many of them are going to make your lovely smile perk up any more than it is already.
Okay, so, you know what? Yeah. That's all I need to know. Okay. That's all I need to hear about it. Okay, so I want to go through some of these clips from last night. Look, it's the third debate. It's on NBC News. Now, I will say we can get into NBC and one of the candidates, at least, who kind of attacked NBC and mainstream media on their fake news. But I did find it fascinating that this debate, NBC News, you would think would be more insufferable than the Fox News debate. It actually was way less insufferable than the Fox News debate, way better moderators, way better questions, I think. There were no questions about, like, if you were on an island with all of these people, who would you vote off the island, like Survivor? There wasn't that didn't get asked, actually, in this one. So that was at least refreshing. Credit where credit is due. So I want to play... Let me play first clip number one. This is Ron DeSantis answering the question. I think it is a valid question. There are a lot of these people on this stage who have either endorsed Trump, who have worked for Trump's administration, who have had Trump's endorsement, and they're like, Trump is running, so why pick you if he was your guy and he's already running? Here was Ron DeSantis's answer to that.
Now, if you look where we are now, it's a lot different than where we were in 2016. And Donald Trump's a lot different guy than he was in 2016. He owes it to you to be on this stage and explain why he should get another chance. He should explain why he didn't have Mexico pay for the border wall. He should explain why he racked up so much debt. He should explain why he didn't drain the swamp. And he said Republicans were going to get tired of winning. Well, we saw last night, I'm sick of Republicans losing in Florida. I showed how it's done. 1 year ago here, we want a historic victory, including a massive landslide right here in Miami-Dade County. That's how we have to do it. So I promise you this, as the nominee, next November, I'll get the job done. And as president, I will deliver
for you. Your time is up. Let me turn to Ambassador Haley.
I want to play one more clip here of Ron DeSantis. This is clip number six, Ron DeSantis talking about, again, I mean, to his credit, he is the guy up there who can say, I have the track record of doing what I'm saying I'm going to do because I've already done it here in Florida. One of these is, of course, Israel. So he, of course, helped facilitate the rescue of Americans and, you know, taking these planes into Israel when it seemed like the American government was just kind of abandoning everyone. Mm-hmm. They, you know, speaking of track records, they seem to have a, the Biden-Harris administration seems to have a track record of doing just that. And so DeSantis was talking about, look, this is this. There's a difference between saying things and putting things into action. I'm actually acting on all of these words. Watch.
I would be telling Bibi, finish the job once and for all with these butchers, Hamas. They're terrorists. They're massacring innocent people. They would wipe every Jew off the globe if they could. He cannot live with that threat right by his country. The Hamas should release every hostage and they should unconditionally surrender. I'm sick of hearing the media. I'm sick of hearing other people blame Israel just for defending itself. We will stand with Israel in word and in deed, in public and in private. And I can tell you, as governor, I actually did something about it. Biden's neglect has been atrocious. We had Floridians that were over there after the attack. He left them stranded. They couldn't get flights out. So I scrambled resources in Florida. I sent planes over to Israel, and I brought back over 700 people to safety. There could have been more hostages had we not acted. And I'll tell you this. I met the first plane load when they came to Florida, and one of the mothers pointed to a six-year-old daughter, and she said, my daughter had been saying the last two nights, Mommy, I don't want to hear any more bombs, no more rockets. I just want to get back to Florida. So there's a difference between words and deeds. We acted and we saved lives. Thank you.
Let me play one more clip here, and then I want to get your thoughts on Ron DeSantis. So let's play clip number 13. Ron DeSantis talking about, obviously, the issue of abortion is at play here, because there are a lot of people who, not just the midterms, but also this last election earlier this week. It already feels like last week. It already feels like last year, actually. No, it was just earlier this week. You know, you had Ohio that passed the measure to enshrine abortion in the state constitution. A lot of people are saying that Republicans standing up for the pro-life cause is causing them to lose votes. And so Ron DeSantis was asked how he would handle the topic of abortion as president. Here was his response.
Texas is not going to do it the same as New Hampshire. Iowa is not necessarily going to do it the same as Virginia. So you got to work from the bottom up. You got to do a better job on these referenda. I think of all the stuff that's happened to the pro-life cause, they have been caught flat-footed on these referenda, and they have been losing the referenda. A lot of the people who are voting for the referenda are Republicans who would vote for a Republican candidate. So you got to understand how to do that. But let's just be clear. The Democrats have taken a position they will not identify the point at which there should be any protection all the way up until birth. That is wrong, and we cannot stand for that.
So I want to get your thoughts. I mean, to his point, and we've been saying this on the show, the Republicans have been so weak and ineffective at their messaging when it comes to the issue of abortion, so much so that in Ohio, the language that this measure used, it was just incomprehensible that if this was allowed to go on the ballot the way that it was, the way that it tied abortion up until the point of birth in with contraception and in with miscarriage, care and in with keeping your pregnancy, as if any of those, like all of those things can just be conflated together. And yet there it was, intentionally meant to, you know, misguide people, to have them misunderstand, to have them go, well, of course I want women to have contraception. I don't want to take away women's contraception. Of course I'm going to vote for this. And then now here you have abortion up until the point of birth enshrined in the Ohio Constitution. So what are your thoughts, guys, on what Ron DeSantis had to say there in those clips in his performance for the night?
I thought he was really good. I thought he won the debate last night. As far as Republicans and the messaging, we all know they're incredibly weak on it. And they've allowed the Democrat Party to position them as extremists on this issue when it is the Democrats mm-hmm. who are extreme mm-hmm. and want no restrictions whatsoever on abortion, right up to and including when the baby is coming out the birth canal. Mm-hmm. And they never talk about that. They never try to pin down Democrats on, well, okay, when is it not appropriate or okay to take the life of this child?
Right.
Can you kill the child on the day of birth? Get them to say yes, because that's their position on it.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrat Party, at least in everybody I know in office, at least, wants no restrictions whatsoever on abortion. They want it available right up to and including the time of birth. And so to be for conservatives and Republicans to be painted as the extremists, it's just it's pathetic messaging.
Yeah, I think to Pat's point, there was a moment on The View, I think it was The View, when Hillary Clinton was running, and she was asked, what about a woman, like her water has broken, she's about to go into delivery, would you be in favor of abortion for that woman? And she said, it's up to the patient and her doctor.
Right.
Like, she still would not give an answer.
To the mother.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's a tough one. I'm probably not your best guest on this one because I'm a small government person. And
right.
I see how the government bastardizes everything. Mm-hmm. And so I like the work everybody's doing in the communities and trying to minimize us even having to talk about this. But I don't trust the government. So, you know, certainly don't agree with the morality of what you're talking about, but I also don't want the government making rules around it either.
Right.
But can we get back to DeSantis for a second?
Yeah, get back to DeSantis.
All right, so I have to say, first of all, this is a guy who's smart enough to know that the plural of referendum is referenda. And he said that many times.
I actually didn't even know that. I was like,
in and of itself was highly impressive. I feel bad for Ron DeSantis because Ron DeSantis is a get it done guy, mm-hmm. but he's not a campaigner. Mm-hmm. And in America, we like people who are really good at campaigning. We want to be entertained. We want to have somebody who's going to give us good fodder for Twitter. And then we go, well, how come this person isn't doing X, Y, and Z? So he's somebody who probably is going to be an excellent president should he get that opportunity in terms mm-hmm. of his execution, but may not get the chance because people want to be entertained on mm-hmm. the campaign trail. We should have two different presidents. We should have the one that goes out and does the speeches and does the entertaining, and then we should have the one that does all of the work, kind of like in every corporation, right?
Yeah.
There's one person who's like the face who does nothing, and then there's a person who actually nobody knows about who gets the work done. So that's my proposal. We just break it up,
and
we let him do the things, and we let somebody else talk about
them.
Now with Biden and Obama.
Exactly.
Great point.
Just in the wrong direction.
Like Biden is entertaining, but for all the wrong
reasons.
We don't want him to be entertaining, but he is. That's a great point. I know it is. It is frustrating to watch DeSantis get trashed so much. People want to call him a rhino, things like that. I asked him about that when he was on the show because I was just like, what is your reaction to hear that? Because no one should be able to even try. You cannot argue with his record of getting things done in Florida. Mm-hmm. If you want to make the argument, it's not his time, we can debate that, right? Like, I think that it's wrong to say someone is just owed, it's their time to take the throne. I think that there are primaries for a reason, and we can decide who it is that we want to be our next candidate. But it is really frustrating to see. I mean, it's almost like he wants to like yell and scream on the stage and be like, guys, I'm literally the only one who's actually done these things. Why wouldn't you pick me? I did all of these things.
Right.
Plus, you have his handling of COVID that he can actually tout. Donald Trump still, again, you guys, I know, I love Trump too. So please, I can already hear your comments. I love Trump too, but I don't like that he has not taken responsibility. It could be so easy for him because he could say, I trusted Anthony Fauci because I thought that he was a good guy. And it turns out that he bamboozled me.
Yeah.
He bamboozled me. I had to trust the experts just like you. I was thrown for a loop. And he could at least admit that the handling of it can never happen again in this country.
Instead, what he's done is tried to say how bad DeSantis was in Florida.
Right.
He was terrible with lockdowns and the vaccine. When it was he who was much worse than DeSantis.
Right.
Well, and not only that, I mean, I think from a foreign policy standpoint, which obviously is a huge issue in this moment, Donald Trump shone. I mean, we all thought that was the area he was going to be the weakest.
Yes.
And by far, it was his strength. I mean, the amount of peace that we had mm-hmm. and historic agreements that were signed under him, unparalleled.
Mm-hmm.
On the funny part, he was supposed to be the business and economic guy.
Yeah.
And this was a guy mm-hmm. who spent like a drunken sailor. Now, I understand he may not have had Congress with him, but he signed off on it and he did nothing to stop that spending. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, the economy is worse under Biden than under him, but he did a lot of the things that people who are serious about getting the economy under control wouldn't be doing. And he hasn't come out and said, okay, now that we're here and we're seeing this, here's my economic plan. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that he needs to face as well.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. But gosh, I just want him on the stage.
Yeah.
We all do. We need him.
It's just not the same. It's just not. I know. We'll get into, so after the break, let's get into some of the other moments. There was a particular attack dog on the stage that was not Donald Trump. We can go through that after the break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Patriot Mobile. So for 10 years, it's like a decade, that Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And the thing is that big mobile companies, if you're using one of the big mobile companies, you're actually donating a portion of your money. They're sending that to causes like, places that want to take your gun rights away. Just left-leaning causes that you don't particularly want to fund. But what Patriot Mobile is going to do is they're not only going to offer you dependable nationwide coverage, you're going to get the ability to access all three major networks, so you're going to get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to. You're also not going to be funding the left. So you're going to send the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and more, because they're going to take a portion of your bill and they're actually going to donate it toward those causes. They have been tremendous in flipping particular school board districts, flipping them from blue to red. They are truly putting their money where their mouth is. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service. I'm telling you, go check them out. You can keep your number. You can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Do whatever deal you like over at patriotmobile.com/news. You can get free activation with the offer code NEWS. That is patriotmobile.com/news. All right, back to the attack dog at the debate. It was not Trump. Sadly, again, please, Mr. President, just for our own pure entertainment, just show up at one, just one of them. I just want, just give us one, please. Carol came and she's like, nothing about the economy is good. You have nothing to look forward to in 2024. Things are just going to get worse. Is that true? Is that true or false?
I mean, the trajectory is moving in the not as good direction. So one might interpret that as, yes, things are likely to get worse.
Okay.
In terms of, if you look at headwinds versus tailwinds, got a lot more headwinds.
Okay, so the economy is going to crap. All right, you have a Bidenflation. Okay, we've got a bunch of terrorists coming in through the border. Can we just have one fun thing, Donald, please? So Vivek, obviously, Ramaswamy, was that attack dog standing in Donald Trump's place. And I want to play Vivek's opening statement. It's a little long, but it was great. He threw swings at Ronna McDaniel. He threw swings at NBC News. He was just throwing swings at everyone just right out the gate. Watch.
Mr. Ramaswamy, let me turn to you. Please make your case. Why should you be the nominee and not the former president?
I think there's something deeper going on in the Republican Party here, and I am upset about what happened last night. We've become a party of losers at the end of the day. It is a cancer in the Republican establishment. Let's speak the truth. I mean, since Ronna McDaniel took over as chairwoman of the RNC in 2017, we have lost 2018, 2020, 2022, no red wave that never came. We got trounced last night in 2023. And I think that we have to have accountability in our party. For that matter, Ron, if you want to come on stage tonight, you want to look the GOP voters in the eye and tell them you resign, I will yield my time to you. And frankly, look, the people there are cheering for losing in the Republican Party. Think about who's moderating this debate. This should be Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk. We'd have 10 times the viewership asking questions that GOP primary voters actually care about and bringing more people into our party. You think the Democrats, and we've got Kristen Welker here, you think the Democrats would actually hire Greg Gutfeld to host a Democratic debate? They wouldn't do it. And so the fact of the matter is, I mean, Kristen, I'm going to use this time because this is actually about you and the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years. Was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation? Answer the question. Go.
Mr. Rosner,
this is how we get our country back.
Oh, man.
We need accountability. liability because this media rigged the 2016 election. Mm. They rigged the 2020 election with the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Mr. Ramaswamy,
and they're going to rig this election.
Your time is up.
Accountability.
Let me turn to Governor Christie. Why are you?
It's like everything he's saying, I agree with. Mm-hmm. It just does not come off as a serious candidate at all.
But don't you think there's a role for that? I mean,
yes.
I love the fact that you have somebody who has absolutely no intention of being the president who can just come out on TV and air all of our grievances. Mm-hmm. I feel like there needs to be in every debate, in every time we have any election, there should just be the airing of the grievances candidate where you can submit all the things that you hate and that person comes out and he says it very eloquently,
of
by
course.
The way. He puts it in a very nice package and just, you know, all that frustration that we're feeling, he gets it out. So regardless of what you think of him as a candidate, I just love the role that he's playing.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I was like, oh, thank God you said that about Ronna Romney McDaniel. She is such a loser. All she knows how to do is lose. But it was, I think it was just the way in which he's like, come on, Ronna, come up on stage right now. Kristen Welker, answer the question. Go.
It's just like, hey, moderator, I'm going to moderate you. You talk to, I'm in charge of this debate right now.
All right. You know they're not going to do that. But it was very refreshing to hear someone, to Carol's point, say what everyone else was thinking for so long.
It was. It was just too planned, probably.
Exactly. Yeah, it did.
It's one of those things where, okay, I'm going to pick a spot and I'm going to nail him with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it felt good because NBC should be called out. For the biased douchebags they are, and he called them out, which is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I
and
love
Ronna
that.
McDaniel for brokering a deal with
yes.
him every time. That's what they do.
Absolutely.
And losing every single important election and not being effective in terms of strategy and getting in on the ground game and making sure that you actually, I actually have no idea what it is that she does.
Right.
Can somebody explain? I mean, I know she's got a title, but this goes back to the face versus the execution that we were talking about before. On the execution front, she's a big zero.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And by the way, again, I'm just trying to call balls and strikes the way that I see them. But we did have an opportunity to have Harmeet Dhillon.
Absolutely.
Mm. Who championed Ronna McDaniel? Donald Trump.
That is true.
I would argue that that was one of the greatest reasons that she was back in her, she is back in her spot right now is because he endorsed her. I don't know why. We could have had Harmeet Dhillon, who I think would have been instrumental in transforming the GOP. She would have changed the brand on its head. I mean, it would have been so much more effective. And it was just really disappointing to see, you know, sometimes I know people are like, he plays like 4D chess or whatever. And I'm like, it's really difficult to understand some of these decisions. I get it. Sometimes you got to like go along to get along. But it just felt like an unforced error on his part with that because
There's no 4D chess going on here. There's not even a game of checkers going on here. I don't know what the explanation is, but this isn't some master strategy.
I think, I will say this. Trump is very much about loyalty. So maybe it's just like she's loyal to me, I'm loyal to her, and that's it. And that's all there is to it. But
Which has a merit.
Right. Yes. Well, right. I mean, that's an explanation, right? But it's like, but when all she does is lose, come on. Okay, so I want to play Vivek again. He wasn't done. No, he was just getting started, actually. I want to play him talking about, if you want another, basically he's like, if you want another neocon, I'm not for you, but there are a couple other people here on stage who are, except he said it in, of course, the most derogatory manner possible. Watch.
Fact of the matter is the Republican Party is not that much better. You have the likes of Nikki Haley, who stepped down from her time at the UN. Bankrupt or in debt was her family. Then she becomes a military contractor. She joins the board of Boeing and otherwise, and is now a multimillionaire. So I think that's wrong when Republicans do it or Democrats do it. That's the choice we face. Do you want a leader from a different generation who's going to put this country first? Or do you want Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels?
All right, Mr.
In which case, we've got two of them on stage tonight.
There's another line he was waiting to do.
Yeah.
The Ron DeSantis.
We got two of them up here because that's the new thing now online.
One wears heels over here. Everyone's in here. I'm the only one that's not wearing heels on this stage. That's his slogan.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, man. I just, I
think that does Ron DeSantis wear lifts in his boots is just.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
Who cares?
I don't care either.
I don't. But first of all, for the record, I don't think he does.
I don't either.
But
I also don't care. I don't care if he's wearing stilts.
Right. I don't care if he never stands up. Frankly, he can do the whole thing sitting down as long as he gets it done.
Right.
The track record speaks for itself.
Yeah, but then you just have to wonder. I mean, I feel like we live in this world, so. We are looking at we're analyzing the statistics and the track record and stuff. I just don't know how much the average American who goes to the polls are going to know that, care about that. It's just so hard to know anymore.
I mean, isn't that the fundamental problem with this country is that nobody really cares to do the research. Nobody cares mm-hmm. to be informed. Nobody cares to understand what's happening. Nobody cares about when there's inflation, understanding that it's for the stimulus checks that you asked for when we told you no, it was going to cause inflation. You were going to pay $10,000 a year for the rest of your life for that $1,000. Nobody cares about that information. Yep. And then they wonder what happened to them.
Right.
And just it's a rinse and repeat cycle. And until the population says we are going to care and mm-hmm. we're going to do something about it, we're going to end up, you know, with whoever has the best soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to read, I don't think we have this, but I do want to read, Nikki Haley tweeted out after the debate, Vivek, I wear heels. They're not for a fashion statement. They're for ammunition.
No, she said that during the debate.
Oh, did
too.
She?
Yeah, she did.
I don't understand it.
Oh, you don't?
Why are they for ammunition?
Yeah, because you can take it out and then
and
you
just
can
beat him.
Yeah, no, I mean that's a dangerous. If you get a stiletto,
oh,
you can really take somebody's eye out.
Eye out
yeah, she's like, I will impale you with my stiletto. Try me.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, she did get horribly ratioed on Twitter for what it's worth on that. Okay, so really quickly, this is the Daily Mail. They rated their viewers told the Daily Mail how they rated the candidates. Here we are, Ron DeSantis. 6.6, Nikki Haley, 6.1. Vivek tied, Nikki Haley at 6.1. Tim Scott, 5.5. Chris Christie, 4.8. And these were all out of 10. So.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
That's a none bad of
them,
scale.
Yeah,
that's
like none of them scale. Did great, apparently. Nope, and nobody likes any of these people, I guess, apparently. You would have liked to have seen, I don't know, a 7, an 8, maybe an 8.5. No, everybody hated it, I guess. So here's another one. Who is best to go up against Donald Trump? 53% Ron DeSantis, 29% Nikki Haley, 18% don't know, which is a pretty high percentage for I have no idea. And then DeSantis versus Haley, who had the better debate? 56% Ron DeSantis, 35% Nikki Haley, and only 9%. Don't know. I also did think it was pretty funny that really quickly here, I think it was the Washington Post, but the mainstream media, all of their ratings were like, Vivek did the worst. Vivek is the biggest loser, probably because he called them out on all, mm-hmm. all of their BS. He's like, the mainstream media is fake. You pimped the fake Russian collusion. He like demolished them. And they're like, actually, Vivek had the worst performance ever. Yeah, he's the worst candidate. Don't vote for him.
They're scared of him because he and whoever his team are clearly just like on an IQ level, the smartest. And they're the ones that they're going to figure out, do all the digging in the dirt. And next time we come out, you know, they're going to be in that hot seat.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't on an execution front or anything else. They're worried about themselves for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then one more quick note. Tim Scott revealed his new girlfriend. Dispelling all rumors that may have existed. This is a real relationship. That's all there is to it. Okay, he didn't pay her. They're in love. Don't think anything else, okay? That was rude of you to think that.
Didn't somebody do that with, like, Rosario Dawson or, like, some Hollywood candidate or something?
I just said that at lunch.
Yeah,
it was Cory Booker.
Yeah, like, everybody's got... Is she Hollywood, too, this new girlfriend? Or?
She is an interior designer.
Oh, well, fantastic.
Yes. So, I wish them...
Mazel, the best of luck.
The
couple.
All right, let's go ahead, and we got to take another quick break. We'll be back with more, but we want to thank our sponsor Qualia Senolytics. So your life goals in your career and beyond, obviously they require productivity, but you know, the aging process is not
quite our friend. I wouldn't know this personally or anything when it comes to, I don't know, endless energy and productivity. That is why I have tried Qualia Senolytic. You know, as we age, everyone accumulates these things called senescent cells in their body, and senescent cells cause symptoms of aging. So you could have aches and pains, slow workout recoveries, sluggish mental and physical energy associated with that middle age feeling, which again, I feel really attacked right now that I have to talk about this. They're also known as zombie cells, and they're old, worn out, and not serving a useful function for our health anymore, but they're taking up space in your body and nutrients from our healthy cells. So you can try Qualia Senolytic to help you with that, help you resist aging. That's what everyone wants. Everyone wants to stay young for as long as possible. You can do that by going to neurohacker.com/news for up to $100 off and use code NEWS at checkout for an additional 15% off. That is neurohacker.com/news.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Breaking today, Marjorie Taylor Greene, according to her tweet or her ex post, says, I just filed privileged articles of impeachment on Secretary Mayorkas. Yesterday, two Americans from my district in Dalton, Georgia, were killed in a high-speed head-on collision at the hands of human traffickers smuggling illegal aliens into this country. They had five kids who will never get to say goodbye. The utter disregard for American life displayed by Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas can no longer be ignored. The time for more hearings and phases is over. Americans are getting murdered just traveling to see their families. Lives have been lost forever. Everyone should care. This is not a political issue. That's why I just introduced privileged articles to impeach Secretary Mayorkas. Obviously, you know, she's been on this for a while. She filed articles of impeachment, I believe, earlier this year on him, and cited, and Joe Biden as well, citing the fentanyl crisis, all the fentanyl coming across the border, killing record number of Americans. So, look, I support this. I hope they do it. I just don't have faith that the Republicans that are currently in power actually care to do anything to solve the problem of all of this horrendous administration.
They're not going to.
Yeah.
No. Republicans have their thumbs up their rectal cavities. And they never get any of this stuff done. And Democrats did it not only once, but twice with the sitting president. And we can't seem to get it done here. Now, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene has filed articles of impeachment against every person in office now. but bless her heart. I like what she's doing. She's, you know, I know she's got the reputation of being super extreme. I think lately what she's done in the last year and year and a half has been pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And she's been pretty darn conservative. And there aren't that many who are willing to stand up for their principles in office. Everybody equivocates. Everybody moderates. Everybody kind of floats to the other side of the aisle so they can go along to get along. She doesn't.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Well, and I mean, when you look at the crisis at what's happening at the border, I mean, you cannot dispute that this is that the way that he has completely neglected it is impeachable.
Yes,
it is. I mean, it's an invasion.
Yeah.
It's an invasion of our country. And to say anything less wouldn't be doing it justice. And I'm somebody who believes that one of the keys to happiness in life is separating art from artist. Mm-hmm. So we can separate the person from the things that they're doing.
Right.
And if someone you don't like is doing some good things, you can say that makes sense.
Right.
I like having some accountability. I just don't think the accountability goes far enough, whether it's impeachments, whether it's censures. I mean, somebody gets censured, they get their name written in a book, and that's it. Like, no, I want them gone. I want something massive to have some massive accountability, and we need that throughout government. Nothing is going to change. There is too much power and too much at stake for them until there is real accountability. So if this is a baby step in that direction, so be it, but it needs to get done, and then that needs to be escalated, because if people are not accountable, then they're going to do what's best for themselves as politicians instead of what's best for the American people.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, before we have to go to break, I do want to switch gears here and play. Senator Joe Manchin actually had an announcement this afternoon. Here was his announcement. Watch.
After months of deliberation and long conversation with my family, I believe in my heart of hearts that I have accomplished what I set out to do for West Virginia. I have made one of the toughest decisions of my life and decided that I will not be running for re-election to the United States Senate. But what I will be doing is traveling the country and speaking out to see if there is an interest in creating a movement to mobilize the middle and bring Americans together.
See, gauge interest in creating a movement to mobilize the middle and bring Americans together.
Mansion in the middle. Isn't that a great sitcom that everybody wants to see? Really missing out on that one. This guy is terrible. He's not in the middle. I will never forgive him for what he did when he had the opportunity to stop that spending that ended up creating so much inflation and so much pain. He was one of those key people, and he caved in on that. Mm-hmm. And no one wants you in the middle, Joe Manchin, because that is not a middle position. That is a terrible position. So you go with your family and do whatever you need to do, but don't you be coming to my town.
Can you imagine how the American people are going to be fired up over the movement to the middle? Is that going to excite people?
Everyone's just been clamoring for that.
I can't tell you how many calls I've gotten. Why haven't we moved to the middle? Why aren't we going right down the middle of the road? Let's sit on the fence. Can we please? I don't want to go to either side. Let's go right on the fence line. It's asinine.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, if you take an Oreo cookie and you take the middle, there's some good stuff in the middle.
Fair. That's one where there's,
this is not the guy that's getting that movement hyped up. Or Andrew Yang, by the way.
He's not the cream
in the middle. Neither of them, you need, if you're going to have a centrist movement, you need somebody who is really charismatic to overcome the fact that you are in the middle, right? That's a tough place to be. I frankly think there are a lot of people there, but this is not, who's following that guy?
You didn't think that was charismatic?
That's not the guy. It's like, you know, if Joe Manchin would just come and lead us, you know, to the middle, this country would be saved. This is what we have all, thank you, Joe Manchin.
The passion people probably have for a Joe Manchin move to the middle run.
Can you imagine?
Oh, the rallies.
The ones of people that are going to show up for those rallies? My gosh.
I think that's overstating it, but if you want to be generous,
his wife will be there, his kids.
Maybe.
That's one.
Maybe. I wouldn't put any money on that. I'd say 50-50 odds. Straight up.
To Carol's point, Joe, just go home and be with your family. Stop this nonsense. Mm-hmm. You guys take this power. You're in office for 10 billion years and then you want to run for high. No, just go home. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. But we want to thank sponsor of the segment, Preborn. So Preborn is, Preborn is a, they put their clinics, their crisis pregnancy clinics. This is so smart. They put them right by where all of these abortion clinics are. Often in the, you know, they're positioned right next to the highest abortion areas next to the abortion clinics themselves. And what they do is they are going to welcome these women in to actually see what's on their ultrasound. You know, we talked about the issue of abortion earlier, and one of the left's many tactics that they use is that they lie to these women and they say, this is just a clump of cells, it's not a person, don't worry, it's just like a parasite in your body, you can eliminate a parasite from your body, and these women don't know what they're doing because they're lied to. But what Preborn does is they offer these women ultrasounds, and they show these women, this is actually a human life inside you, this is your baby. And oftentimes, once the mother sees that ultrasound and sees that it is a tiny human that's theirs, they are way more likely to choose life. Preborn also offers financial assistance to these women who are so scared. They go in and they're like, I don't have any help. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And Preborn offers them that as well. So they're doing really, really amazing, amazing things over there at Preborn. Please consider, if you would, making a gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that will double a baby's chance at life. You can donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That is #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Sarah. There's no H in that, by the way. It's preborn.com/Sarah. All right, Kenneth Darlington, a 77-year-old Panamanian-born U.S. citizen, apparently got stuck behind an environmentalist blockade roughly 55 miles west of Panama City. And he went and he tried to, he's like, guys, can you please move? Can you please move? And they wouldn't move. And, well, you can just see what happens next. He's calmly walking up. And look, all I'm saying is that these people were given ample opportunity to move. They did not. And he pulled out a gun and he ended up shooting two of them because they were like, what are you going to do? Shoot us? And he's like, do you want to be the first one? And so he ended up shooting and killing two of them. Now, I'm sorry. That is a badass picture. You can see the casing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. That's a cool picture. And he, listen, any loss of life is tragic, but I'm just saying, if they're basically kidnapping, they're holding hostage all of these drivers.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a situation we can all relate to. It reminds me of the movie Falling Down, where he had Michael Douglas as William Defense Foster, who was just trying to get his McDonald's or whatever fast food was, McMuffin, and he wanted breakfast, and they're like, sorry, sir, it's 10:32, and he pulls out the thing. Like, we've all been pushed to the brink on these things, and the climate activists are getting on our last
yes.
nerve here.
Yes.
The reality is they're not changing hearts and minds.
Right.
They're not saving the environment. Mm-hmm. They're just being a giant pain in the you-know-what.
Yes.
And while violence is never the answer, sometimes violence is the answer.
Also, they're so dumb. You're literally causing more emissions, making these people just sit there and run their engine for no reason.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make any sense.
And there's no way to win a heart and mind.
No.
When you're doing that to people,
no.
It's such a stupid concept
yeah.
to begin with. Stop it. And they do it. They do it here. They do it in Panama. They're doing it in London. They're doing it all over the world. And they're morons. Mm-hmm. And sometimes morons get hurt.
Yeah.
Don't be a moron.
Right.
Get out of the road.
They do it everywhere where they like interrupted Wimbledon. They
yeah.
go, they throw paints on paintings. Like
glue themselves to streets.
Yeah. This is not the, like, who gave you this strategy? Who's like this? Like if you wanted to really change someone's mind, get the buy-in and save the environment, here are a few tactics. None of these. None of these are the tactics. I don't know where they're getting this counsel. Who's mm-hmm. writing these handbooks? Is it like Krusty the Clown? Like I don't understand. Yeah. Understand where these are coming from.
AOC, maybe, I think. One of my favorites was the tomato soup that was thrown on the painting that was clearly like behind glass.
Yeah.
They're like,
I like that.
We just washed the glass off. Right? You didn't actually do anything lasting to this painting, which by the way, was the oil painting was a completely different oil.
Right.
And what you're talking about, guys. And then meanwhile, they always have these like, you know, clothes and accessories and iPhones and all of these things that were made
yeah.
with all of these materials that they claim they hate so much and they want to go away. And it's like
6,000 derivative products that come from oil that you use in your everyday life that you have no idea because
right.
you're busy gluing yourself to the sidewalk because you were the kid that ate paste. And then you said, I'm going to take the paste and I'm going to put it on me. I'm going to glue myself to the sidewalk. These kids should be put somewhere else. They should not be released into the general population for their own safety, so this poor guy doesn't have to have a falling down moment and shoot them.
That's a great point.
Thank you.
It was their fault.
It was their fault. It was their fault. It was their society failed them. Their teachers failed them. Everyone who didn't lock them away in a closet when they first showed the signs of eating paste. It's everybody's fault. It's been a failure, and we need somebody to look into this. Marjorie Taylor Greene, maybe you could do something about it. Maybe you could impeach somebody.
Oh, my God. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Oh. So, Carol, we talked about the economy a little bit, which I feel like we need to do while you're here. But if someone, I don't know, wanted to learn more about this new financial world order and they had some time to, like, read,
Where would they, what should they do? Where would they go for that?
So maybe they want to learn about the new financial world order and they want to learn how to fight back, mm-hmm. right? Because they don't want to just learn about it and then get depressed and crawl under a table.
That's fair. They jump off a bridge.
Right. They want to know how to fight back. Well, it so happens, Sarah, that I wrote a book earlier this year. I know it's a shock to everybody. Instant New York Times bestseller, by the way. They added that to the new print run, which is very exciting, yes, called You Will Own Nothing, which, as I always say, this is not what I wish for you. This is what the elite wish for you. I want you to own everything, but you have to know what their plans are and what's happening in every realm, from central bank digital currencies to social credit to Wall Street coming and competing with families for homes to higher education, what's doing to people's balance sheets to this upcoming wealth heist that's going to happen with all of the money that's sitting in inheritances and people's 401ks and whatnot. So, yeah, you will own nothing.
Where can they get it?
Wherever fine books are sold.
Perfect. Yeah. So make sure to pick it up. It really is amazing. Carol, we love having you. You are, of course, one of the smartest people I know. So I appreciate you. Thank you, Pat, for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.